how are you doing? You know, every time I come or I go any church that's not my church, it's always awkward at first. You know, I'm a pretty expressive guy, and some churches are too expressive, and some churches are not very expressive at all. So it's just weird, just telling you guys. But the thing I love is that we're all part of the body of Christ. And he's the head. And he has an incredible plan for his body, his church. And sometimes in the midst of everything that's happening in the world, and sometimes even happening in our own heart, we kind of forget that this thing we call the church, ecclesia, is a ordained vehicle that God is using to change the world. And we ought to be very grateful for that, and all. We ought to be very, I don't know, I tell my church all the time, we ought to be very mindful of that. So I want to jump into scripture. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 16, and we're going to start reading at verse 13. And I don't know about you guys, my favorite part of scripture are the Gospels. I love to see Jesus's how he encountered people, how he talked with his own disciples, how he does miracles, how he teaches, how he loves. But this is one of those conversations I would have loved to have been at. So it's starting at Matthew chapter 16, verse 13. It says this. I'm reading from the ESV. Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But who do you say I am?" Simon Peter replies, "You're the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I tell you, are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Then he strictly charged the disciples to tell no one that he was the Christ. So I don't know about you guys. Every time I read things, I always kind of want to understand kind of what's happening. So Jesus is going through all these towns with his disciples, and they're watching all kinds of miracles and interactions. And every once in a while, Jesus would pull them aside and just ask a really simplistic question. In this one, he said, "Okay, who are people saying that I am?" And they say a lot of cool things. They said that you're John the Baptist returned. You're one of the prophets of old, maybe Elijah or Jeremiah. And you know, the world oftentimes has a way of always having an answer for who Jesus is. They always tell us all kinds of things, but Jesus was saying, "That's cool. I'm glad that's what people are saying about me. But I want to know what you think about me. Who do you say I am?" Right? It's one of those classic moments. And Peter, who was speaking for the whole group, he said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And for a moment, we have to stop. And Jesus said something so in there. He said, "Peter, this wasn't revealed to you by flesh and blood. This is a divine revelation." What Peter was saying also probably went against all his upbringing, all his teaching. They knew that a Messiah was come. But what Peter was saying, that you are God incarnate. That's literally what he's saying. The Holy Spirit revealed something to Peter that he had not known before. That you are the Christ, the Messiah, the one we've been waiting for. But as he walked with Jesus, he learned that that would be so much more than what he thought. It wasn't just going to be a military king to restore Israel. He was actually going to be a king who would save the world. And he said, "You are that person, Jesus." And sometimes I feel like we forget that that's who we serve. I know there's a lot of things that are happening in the world. I know we get overwhelmed and we start taking sides and we start to do all kinds of things. But do we remember that we are serving Jesus Christ the King? And a lot of times when I come to places, I just pray a lot. God, what do they need to hear? I'm not here enough. I don't know what's going on. But I know every believer needs to be reminded of this, that one day we'll stand before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. One day all of earth will bow down and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so when Peter said this, it was a declaration of faith. Peter acknowledged that Jesus was the long-awaited Messiah, the anointing one. It was not just the cornerstone of our faith. This is what everything is built on, Jesus. Everything. It's not just a cornerstone. It's also the confession of our faith. This is the only thing we have to offer a lost and dying world. I know a lot of us, how many of you guys love to get into theological, sparring? Talk about all the issue. Talk about, oh, you believe that stance, I believe. That's great, but that's not the cornerstone of our faith. The world doesn't need to be convinced. I shouldn't say that. The world doesn't need to be debated into faith. The world needs to be shown Jesus Christ the Lord. And so Peter does that. And I kind of just love how he does it. He just said, this is who you are. And then Jesus moves on. And I love this. He said, flesh and blood didn't reveal this, right? But he goes on and he says that upon this declaration, we get all into the debate. Here's where the debate, here's the split between the Roman Catholicism and Protestantism. You are Peter. Peter, some translation just said Peter, which is Petros, which means rock. And he said, but then he goes on and said, upon this Petra, which is a different form of the word, but it means a rocky foundation, a solid foundation, I will build my church. He said, Peter, you're the rock, but upon this confession, this solid foundation, I'm going to build something. And the gates of hell themselves will not be able to stand against it. Will not penetrate it, will not affect it, will not stop it, cannot stop it. I'm going to build my church on this confession of faith that I am the Christ. Can you imagine Peter in that moment? You know, Peter was an interesting guy if you really think about it. He didn't get this right away. Pretty soon after this, he's going to deny Jesus. And it wouldn't really hid him fully until the day of Pentecost, when Peter declared and he preaches in the birth of the church of Jesus Christ is born. 3,000 people, because of this indwelling, powerful spirit, gave Peter words that would transform lives and would birth the most precious institution ever created, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, yes, Peter. And like I said, this is a Roman Catholic and a Protestant. We separate here. They believe that this Petros or Petra, they believe that it's Peter, but we believe it to be Peter's confession. You are the Christ, the awaited one. And so I just want to ask you guys a couple things. Honestly, I always want to try to impress people. I want people to like me, but honestly, I don't care if you like me. Why do you think God would entrust us with such a gift? Because he goes on and said, Peter, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom of heaven. He goes on to say that. That's such a crazy statement if you think about it. What are you saying? He said, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loose in heaven. What is he saying? He's saying, Peter, I'm giving you something that is actually able to free people, to give them hope. And what is that? The gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. When you declare something, Peter, when you go into the town and declare the gospel, it's going to do one or two things. It's either going to loosen people and give them freedom because they're going to come to know me, or it's going to bind them, it's going to condemn them. When you do those things, Peter, you have that authority. And that authority hasn't been passed down through the Pope. It's been passed on to the church. Every believer who puts their trust in the Lord Jesus Christ has the same responsibility to declare the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. And when we declare that, it does what it always does. It either redeems or it convicts. It never does anything else. The gospel is meant to redeem people or convict people, or condemn people, I should say. So he said, I'm going to give you the keys to the kingdom. Again, Jesus is kind of revealing to Peter the role of the church and the purpose of it. You know, one of our lead teaching pastors at my church, and we talk about a lot of things. A lot of things we have to do, right? You know, we have to have a kids' ministry. We got to do this. We got to do that. And there's always, like, people who want to do everything. And sometimes that can lead to all kind of disagreement. And why do you do this way and everything? And I always remind them one thing. We're never going to be completely in agreement. Because we're different. Our hearts are different. Our passions are different. If it's up to me, all we do is just send missionaries all over the world and all go all the time. But if it's up to Travis, all we do is have lectures 7 days a week and dig deep into theology. But here's what I know, and this is what Jesus is saying. This vehicle, this church, is supposed to be an example to the world of the power of God. We shouldn't look like the world, even in our disagreement, even in our how we view things, even in how we talk, even how we talk about politics. No matter what we talk, we should look very different because we are God's church. We should be different. We should talk different. We should handle each other differently. Do you know the Bible constantly talks about how we should treat one another? Does anyone know what the Bible says about us treating one another? There's a lot of one another's in the Bible, right? We should love one another. Pray for one another. Encourage one another. You can go on and on and on. And he said, especially be this way to the household of believers. What God is saying that the church should be doing is looking so different that when the world looks at it, it says, okay, I have to make a decision now. I have to make a real decision. Am I really part of this thing? And if I am, how does the world see me? Because I'm part of it. If I'm part of the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, how does the world actually view you? Honestly, you know, I'm just going to say it, my most hated time of the year. We are in Amish country. We have one church in Amish country. We have one church that is in New Philadelphia, Ohio, which is not Amish country. We have two campuses, right? And this is a time of politics, which I hate, because half the church is like, I don't know, red, and half is blue, and half is, this is important, half, and there's so much disunity, and I literally said, what are we doing? Like, what's happening? Our job isn't about politics. Our job is about the kingdom. I don't care how you vote. Once you vote, then love Jesus, love everyone else, preach the gospel, and if people are in disagreement with you, say, hey, I understand that, but I don't hate you because of it. Hey, I understand that, but I'm not going to treat you this way because of that. We just got to be something very different. So when Jesus said the gates of hell would not prevail against it, here's what we do. Oh, evil's not going to prevail against it. We never apply it to us now. How is evil now trying to prevail against the church of God right now, the church of Christ? How is it doing it? And I can give you the issues if you want me to. One is politics, right? Where do you fall? One is a whole, like, your identity, whether it be sexual identity or whatever else. I know what the Bible teaches about homosexuality and all, any kind of sex outside of marriage, by the way, right? If you have any, oh, am I allowed to say that? It's too late, it's out there. I'm sorry, kids. If you're doing this outside of the context of marriage, one man, one woman, you're sinning. I don't have to debate that. The word says it. But how then do I treat people who are sinners in the church? I love them. You know one thing Jesus never told me to do? He never told me to go and condemn people. Why? Why? What did Romans say? The world is condemned already. I mean, they're already condemned. Why do I need to condemn them? I don't. What I need to do is preach the gospel to them. And if they reject the gospel, that's on them. I don't, the gospel, you know one thing? The gospel doesn't need help. It doesn't condemn. I shouldn't say that. The gospel doesn't condemn. You know how I know that? The Bible tells me. Jesus actually said, what about condemnation? I come not into the world to what? To condemn it, but to what? To save it. I know this is weird, call and response. You know what I think is more weird? When the church of Jesus Christ looks like the world, acts like the world, condemns like the world, hates like the world. I think that's really odd. Because Jesus says he's building something. And do you know, he also told us he's coming back for it? He's coming back for the church? And how will he find us? I mean, that's a real question, right? How will he find us? And everyone, I even do this sometimes. I'm not just talking to you guys. I do this sometimes. It doesn't really matter. But it does. I mean, he didn't die for us and create this institution because it doesn't matter. Do you know that we are the hope of the world? Do you know that the church of the Lord, I don't care what the world tells you, this is the hope of the world, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. How we walk in this place, in this time, on this planet matters. How we treat people matters. What we actually preach matters. And it does really matter to him that we look like Jesus. And that starts inside our walls. And then it should permeate outside our walls. If we're treating one another in a way that doesn't look like Jesus in here, how are we going to love people out there? The Bible literally said that can't happen. You can't love people out there if you're not loving your brothers and sisters. Just not going to happen. So at some point in time, we just got to be really honest. I always get to tell my church, one day you're going to fire me or God's going to take me, whichever comes first. But I think it's really important for us to understand that the kingdom of, the kingdom, I wouldn't say is at stake. Our role in how we build the kingdom, either agrees with the Spirit of God and we do it more efficiently, or we fight with the Spirit of God and we get in the way. I love what he continues to say. He says, the church can't be stopped. He puts it this way, the gates of hell shall not what? What? Yeah. Do you guys know that evil isn't going to win? That hell isn't going to win? That sin isn't going to win? That Satan is not going to win? I don't care what, how much you read and how much you hear, and you say, all the world, as bad as it can get. Hey, have you ever visited Babylon? You should go back there and visit when they were sacrificing all babies, killing babies. Sexuality in the temples. Everyone said, oh, our world's so bad. The world has always been bad ever since Adam and Eve said, I'm not going to listen to God. These aren't new things. Let's stop doing that. Oh, it's so bad back then. Or we're worse now. No, sin, once it came into the world, it did one thing, right? It became the absolute rebellion against everything that God stands for. And it's not worse than it used to be. People aren't worse than they used to be. We see all the, and I better be careful. Guys, even how we treat, and I, listen, I want every person to come to this country legally. I do. But do you know immigrant, the word refugee and immigrant is the same? And how does the Bible tell us to treat refugee? It's pretty simple. Even in the Old Testament, he gave rule. Don't clear out the whole land. Leave some for the refugee. We say, oh, I want them all here illegally. We ought to do everything to get that. But we ought not hate them. We ought not. If the church doesn't love them, where is Jesus? Where are they going to find Christ? And I know some of these things aren't popular. Trust me, I'm an Amish country in America. These aren't popular statements. But I know one thing. We have to stand before Jesus. And I don't get to say, well, they were from another country, so I had every right to hate them. You don't get to teach your kids that. Never get to teach your kids to hate people. We don't get that option. It's not an option for the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you actually, if we think that God's going to be all right with that, literally read the book of Revelation. I think we think God only takes lampstand from the books, the seven churches of Ephesus. Do you know he still does that today? We may still operate. I'm not saying you guys. But I've been in churches that are operating as a church, and everything about them is dead. Everything. Because we have decided to add to the gospel in the word of God all things that the Bible literally has told us not to do. And we have made it all right. I better stop. No, honestly, guys, I just feel like I'm so tired of the church doing this. I mean, we're Christ's bride. Should we not be his bride? If we love Jesus, should we not love Jesus? And he calls us to be the church. He's establishing. He's going to do his part, and it's going to win. But there's going to be a lot of tears in that day when we stand before him. And I just want to end kind of with this. And honestly, I mean this with all honesty. Some of our hearts need to be reacquainted with Jesus. We have all the theology right and none of the love. We know all the stuff and the actions do not follow. We can give you a great sermon. We really can. We can tell you all the do's and don'ts. And yet we go out there and we live in such a way that people would not even recognize us as followers of Jesus Christ. Or members of his church. I'm going to end with kind of a story. Kind of highlights this. You know, maybe I shouldn't. I think sometimes when people do harsh things to people, maybe I would tell you a story. I was golfing. And obviously in Amish country, there's not a lot of black people. And somehow my horn went off. A couple guys were there and they said, and I went, I was turned around, they said, oh, it doesn't surprise me. Like, it would be him. Another time on a golf course, someone just literally called me. You know, there were, and in that moment, I had to decide something, right? Was I going to act like Jesus or not? Everything in my flesh told me I had every right not to be Christ-like. And I'm not bragging on me, because everything in me wanted not to be Christ-like. Everything. But then I thought, I run a ministry and there's young adults and I'm, if they hear me or they find out I responded in such a way. And then I said, oh, that's pretty horrible. Maybe I should be thinking what Jesus thinks right now. And it says, if I'm persecuted for righteousness, blessed am I. We need a whole new, honestly, guys, we need something new in our hearts. I don't know this area. I do know this. God has placed you here to be the church of Jesus Christ. It's the highest calling on the earth after being a follower of Jesus Christ, a disciple of Jesus. It's the highest calling in all of creation. And we don't get days off because the world is a mess. We won't get days off because my feelings are hurt. We don't get days off because people disagree with me. We don't get days off. Because he went to the cross so that I may be righteous. And he expects nothing less than that. And honestly, as my heart and your heart, I needed a lesson right in that moment of how I should respond. And the Holy Spirit freely gave it to me. When Jesus established his church, he gave us the Spirit so that we can do what he's called us to do. So I beg of you, be the church. Live it, breathe it, rejoice in it. Struggle with the persecution. But be the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Kill those things that do not belong to him. You don't have the right to live your opinions. You have the right to live his word and nothing more. Can I pray for us? And Jerry, you're going to come on up. I'm going to pray. God, you called us to be the church. You said, I will build my church and the gates of hell itself will not prevail against it. God, sometimes in my heart, I feel like hell is prevailing against it. And sometimes my flesh wants to agree with it. And for that, I ask your forgiveness. God, the world needs us to be what you've called us to be, the church. The world is in desperate need of people who live in such a way, a community of believers that are so radically different, that they have to make a choice. So would you help us to do that? I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.